Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Welcome. Who's here for the first time? You guys. Well, it's nice to have you with us. Let us pray. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to just say thank you for the opportunity that we have, the blessing that we have, the privilege that we have to spend time in the presence of God and to experience the wonderful kingdom of God. Lord, I bring before you every person that is here tonight. Lord, you know their lives. You know them inside and out. You are their creator. I know, Lord, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. But I also know that some of them are broken. Some of them are hurt. Some of them are confused. Some of them are lost. And all of them need your help. You are our healer. You are our savior. You are our deliverer and our redeemer. And tonight, Lord, we put our faith in you to bring about godly change in every person's life. Holy Spirit, you are the river of life. Thank you that that river flows through this place tonight and touches every person's life. Lord, please submerge us by the power of your Holy Spirit, and allow the very breath of the Almighty to fill every single one of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so for the last 2 weeks, I've been speaking to you a message of unity. And I want to say that, you know, the devil's not stupid. You know, the Bible tells us that he was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Perfect in beauty and full of wisdom. Now here's the thing. The devil knows how to mess with us. The devil knows which buttons to push. The devil knows where the weakness is in our lives. That would now be my phone. You know, who's phoning me at this time of the night? Don't you know that I preach this? The devil's phoning me to tell me I mustn't preach this message. You know what I say to you? Go jump in the lake. Amen. Anyway, Matthew, where are you? Go switch off my phone, please. All right. The devil knows what button to push. He knows what number to phone. Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. In any case, here's the thing. Satan is not stupid. How many of you know that the devil doesn't want you to succeed? You know, the enemy, the Bible says the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that will never change. Now I want to ask you this question. Who does he want to steal from? Okay, the devil doesn't want to steal from somebody that has nothing. He wants to steal from somebody that has something. Look at your neighbor and say, you got something. Oh, wow. What a revelation. Some of you never thought you had nothing. But you know, when the devil looks at you, there is something inside of you that makes him feel very uncomfortable. There is something about you that makes him feel afraid. There is something about you that gives him the heebie-jeebies. Yeah. You know what? Some of you, every time you wake up, it's like the devil sees a horror movie. Because he doesn't know what's going to come for him today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Yeah, for sure. Now, the thing is, he doesn't like you. He doesn't want you to go anywhere. He doesn't want your life to go forward. And he definitely doesn't want you to be successful. And you know what? The devil has figured out something that most Christians have not figured out yet. Our true strength, our true power, yes, first and foremost, it comes from God. Can we all be in agreement?
Yes.
But secondly, it comes from unity. And it's no use you want to be in Christ. It's no use you want to be under the power of God, but you refuse to be in unity with your brothers and sisters in Christ, because then you actually have nothing. You know what? The power might come from God, but the ability for us to loose and to release the power of God into other people's lives, including our own life, comes from the fact that we are united as brothers and sisters in Christ. The scriptures use an analogy. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are the body of Christ. And that body has many members. All right, so Albert, can you come forward for me, please? And who else can I? Georgie, you come forward for me, please. Let's quickly show you something. We're going to be looking at that a bit later in the sermon, but probably now is a good time just to do an illustration. All right, here's Albert. Albert is our child of God, Christian warrior, wonderful man of God. Does God have a good plan for his life?
Amen.
Does God want him to succeed?
Amen.
Does God want him to go forward?
Amen.
Does God want him to be blessed?
Amen.
What must he be the head and not the tail?
Yes.
Yes. Must he be the top and not the bottom?
Yes.
Yes. Must he go forward and not backward?
Yes. Yes.
These people actually believe that you should go somewhere with your life. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe for your wife, that's a big... No, you want him to go forward, eh? It's not a revelation to you. You want him to be blessed. Okay, so God wants him to be blessed. Do you agree with me? But there's somebody out there that doesn't want him to be blessed. Now, Georgie, tonight, just for purely illustration purposes, you have to be the jojo. Okay. All right. What are you laughing at? You knew it. You knew it all along. All right, so here's what we're going to do. You know what? Every now and then, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For though we live in the world, look at the people around you and say, that's you. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Now look at that same neighbor and say, that's you. Okay. Scripture just told us that down here where we live, whether we like it or not, we are involved in a war. Is warfare nice? Is it something that we all look forward to? Is it a happy time? Is it a peaceful time? Is it a blissful time? No. And probably when you look at your life right now and you see where you are in your life, maybe you think to yourself, I'm in that place right now. You know, we get upset when things go wrong. We get upset when things don't work out the way we wanted to. We get upset when we have trials and tribulations. But you know what? We shouldn't get upset because God's word warns us. We are not secluded. We are not isolated. We are not divinely protected from this war. We are told that there will be times in our life when we are in the thick of it in this war. Now, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. In other words, we do not wage war. Some people, that's what they want to hear. I don't have to fight. The Bible says we do not wage war. No, it says we do not wage war as the world does. In other words, when the jojo comes for Albert, he can't pull out his 44 Magnum. Because it's not going to do nothing to the jojo. You can't shoot demons with a gun. You can't throw them with rocks. You can't shoot them with a bazooka. You can't drive over them with a tank. It's not going to do nothing. Okay, so though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. In other words, the scripture is telling us clearly we are involved in a spiritual war. The weapons we fight with are not carnal. In other words, not human weapons. Not AK-47s, not 44 Magnums, not knives, not hand grenades, not bazookas, not tanks, not nuclear weapons. None of these things can do anything to the enemy that we have. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds represents the power of Satan in our life. Okay. What use is a weapon that you never use? Somebody help me. What use is a weapon that you never use? It's useless. Listen, yeah. If I take a four-year-old and I put a 9mm Parabellum in their hands with the safety on, can they shoot it? Do they understand that they must first take the safety off before they shoot it? Well, hopefully not. And please don't teach your four-year-old stupid things like that. It's not a good idea. Oh man, I saw such an interesting video a while ago. These bunch of idiots somewhere, I don't know, a bunch of gorillas, terrorists, morons. They gave this AK-47 to a baboon. And this thing was standing there and he was just pushing this gun up and all of them were like, yeah, 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 you know, they were toying and doing whatever. And like this oak was jumping up and down and the next moment he figured out how to pull the trigger. You have never seen oaks run that quick. It was like, they were gone. It was very funny. I thought to myself, lacquer. You deserved it. You deserved it. What a bunch of idiots. Anyway, Now, you see, God has given us weapons, but one of the biggest problems that we have is Christians either don't know that they have weapons, or secondly, they don't know how to use the weapons that God has given them. And when the devil then wipes the floor with you, don't blame God. The problem lies with you. You see, here's the thing. All of us are involved in an army. You are in God's army. I am in God's army. We are all in God's army. And as a soldier in the army of God, God expects you to familiarize yourself with the war that you are in and the weapons that he has given you to fight with. Okay, let's stop the bus here because I'm getting ahead of myself. This man, God wants him to go forward. God wants him to be blessed. That's the chocho that doesn't want him to be blessed. The Bible says the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief doesn't want him to go forward. The thief doesn't want him to be successful. The thief doesn't want him to be blessed. The thief wants his life to be miserable and he must go nowhere. Now, the two of them are in a war. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Corinthians 9 verse 26, the Apostle Paul says the following, that when he runs the race of life, he runs like a man not running aimlessly. In other words, he says that I know where I am going. It's important to have vision. It's important to understand where God wants you to go. You have to have vision. You can't just, you know, where should I go? Oh, this looks like a nice direction. Let me just go this way. No, you must receive vision. God must speak to you about your life. You must know where you're supposed to go with your life. Secondly, he says, on my way to my destination, when I fight like a man not beating about in the air. Is there anybody here that used to box? Okay, you used to box. Anybody else? A couple of you that used to box. Tell me something. When you box and you keep missing your opponent, are you helping yourself? You know, when you box and you keep missing your opponent, you actually expel a lot more energy than when you hit your opponent. When you hit your opponent, your energy, your power comes back to you. When you keep missing your opponent, you keep expounding and releasing your energy and it saps your strength very, very quickly. Can I tell you why a lot of Christians go nowhere even though they are trying to fight the devil? Because they do what the Apostle Paul says we shouldn't do. When I fight like a man. When I hit like a man, not beating about in the air. Have you ever seen somebody, you know, I live in Walkerville. That's like the fly capital of South Africa. I have a bunch of farms around me. There's a lot of cattle. And when you have a lot of cattle, you have a lot of, and I'll just leave it to your imagination. But here's the thing. That team seems to breed a lot of flies. And one of these things that tends to happen every now and then, we all in my household look like we are beating about in the air because that flies around your head and it's like, you know? But you can't hit the thing. And in the end, you're like, oh, this thing has tired me out now. I'm going to go and, you know. Now, when this guy has to fight, God wants him to hit the target. And let's just say that God's given him good weapons so that if he knows what he's doing, he can actually hit that chocho. One shot, man down. Now, this is where the chocho starts looking stressed. Let's see your stressed face. I actually like that. That's a good stress. I hope that's not the face you make when your wife wakes up in the morning. Okay, I'm just checking. Well, I'm just joking. All right, so here's the thing. When God empowers you as a believer, as a Christian, as a child of God, he empowers us to live a life of victory. Do you agree with me? And God's not stupid. God knows that there's stuff out there that doesn't want us to be successful. There's things out there that want us to fail. And God has equipped us as believers to have power, to have victory over these things. Amen? All right, now let's check something. Chocho, I want you to give him a hard time. I don't care how you do it. Just give him a hard time. Just mess with him a little bit. There we go. All right. Okay, wait. Calm down. Did you go to the army?
Yes, I did.
You're very parat. I can see that. He's by a parat. Yeah. Ready for action. Yeah, he's ready for action. Okay, listen, yeah. Please don't clap the oak now. Because then he'll never come forward when I want to volunteer again. You have to be so careful these days. Okay, I want to show you something now. We spoke just now about boxing. Now, Albert, okay, Georgie, just move back for me here. Because I know you like your pearly whites and I want them to stay in your mouth. I want to see your knockout punch. Show me the knockout punch. No, man, a good one. And let me also move out of the way here because I can see a problem developing here. Show me your knockout punch. You're going to drop him now. Knock him out. Yeah, no. Yeah, the chocho's here somewhere. I don't want to use George because you're going to hurt the oak. The chocho's here somewhere. Just punch him. Punch him. There we go. Okay, do that again for me in slow motion. Slow motion. Okay. Did you ever see the Rocky movies? Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3. I want to see the mouth action. I want to see the eyeballs bulging. I want to see the muscles ripple. I want to see it. Come on. Auntie, we have to make it. Come on. Knock out the chocho. There we go. Yes, yes. Give me a nice Rocky Balboa punch. There we go. There we go. I like it. There we go. Yeah, come on. Give me a hand. That was well done. Are you going to put me on the spot?
Yes.
Careful, I might put you on the spot. Now, here's what we're going to do. Do that for me again. Come through, slow motion. Come. Stop. Right, pause there. Now, the Apostle Paul said, we are a part of the body of Christ. Okay? Auntie, I'm not putting him on the spot. I'm using him as a tool to teach. So, here's what we're doing. What do you notice about that punch? Is there any part of his body that he's not using right now? He's using everything. He's driving with his legs. He's whipping around with his torso. He's putting the power through his shoulder into his fist. Every part of his body is being used. Can you knock out the devil on your own? Can you knock out the devil as a part, a living, breathing, functioning part of the body of Christ?
Yes.
Yes. I want you to understand why a lot of people's lives go nowhere. Because they are not in unity with the body of Christ. They are on their own. That's why Satan hates. Thank you. That's why Satan hates unity. When you are in unity, it doesn't have to be with 1,000 people. But when you are in unity with a group, let's just say that these people in this room tonight are a group, a united group. Then when this gentleman has to stand against the enemy, he can mobilize as a part of the group, as the body of Christ. And when he hits, in other words, when he starts praying against the devil, when he says, devil, I bind you, I rebuke you, I destroy the works of darkness, there's power behind what he's doing because he's in unity. Without him realizing, the whole body of Christ is mobilizing with him, and there's power behind that word that he speaks. You know, not everybody that says to the devil, devil, I bind you, or devil, get out, or get behind me, Satan, or footsack devil. Not everybody has power when they say that. People that stand on their own, when they say that, the devil looks at them and he laughs at them because he knows there's nothing, he feels nothing. But people that are united, when they move to hit, like the Apostle Paul says, firstly, they can hit the target. Secondly, they can do some damage. You know, the devil's not stupid. He knows whether you have power or whether you have no power because he can feel it. You know that demon, when you tell him to go, some people just expend hot air and some people hit the target. The devil knows which one you are. And if you don't hit the target and you don't hit the target with power, that spirit giving you a hard time, whether it is depression or sickness or torment or fear or anxiety or fright or terror, it doesn't matter. It's going to go nowhere. Do you want it to go somewhere?
Oh, yes.
Then you have to do what the Word of God says. We have to unite. Thank you. Give these guys a hand, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, too can defend themselves. Let's start that again. Two are better than one. You know what? You can argue as much as you want. But two will always be better than one. And three will always be better than two. And four will always be better than three. The more we are, the more powerful we are. It's a fact. And even the scriptures say that two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Okay. Raise your hands if you work hard because you want to go somewhere in life. Who of you want to go forward? Who of you want to be blessed? Who of you want to experience prosperity? Okay, keep your hands up. Then I want to say this to you. Two are better than one. Three are better than two. Four is better than three. Okay, keep your hands up. Now, everybody in this room seems to want to get somewhere in life. Everybody in this room seems to want to have prosperity. And even God agrees with that. Because the Bible says the Lord loves, the Lord God delights in the prosperity of his servant. So even God wants you to be blessed. But can I tell you what will stand against you being prosperous? Division. Because scripture says two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Do you know when we do something, when we work, our blessings come from a spiritual source. Blessings do not come from men down here on earth. Blessings come from God. And when we begin to obey the laws of the kingdom of God, then God begins to bless the work of our hands. The Bible says, today when you hear my voice, if you obey me, then I will bless you. Now, scripture says, the more we are in unity with one another, the more we stand together, the more blessed our work will be. Why does Satan want to bring division in the body of Christ? Because the division will not just affect your ability to fight, your ability to stand against the forces of darkness. The division that comes between believers will also affect your ability to prosper and to go forward in life. A lot of people find that doors are not opening for them. A lot of people find that the blessings of God seems to have been drying up. Why? Because of our spiritual state with our fellow believers. If we allow division to come, if we allow the enemy to come and push us apart, we are also seriously affecting our ability to produce the blessing, our ability to have prosperity in our life. Let me see the hands again. Who of you want to be blessed? Who of you want to prosper?
Amen.
Then I want you to say this. Today,
I realize
my blessings
and my prosperity
depends on my ability to unite the body of Christ. So I want you to think carefully about what you just said. It's time for us to stand together. Because the more we stand together, the more, look at what he says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Now that's very important. Some people out there work hard and they have a small return for their work. Some people out there work just as hard as the person next to them, but they have a big return for their work. What's the difference? The blessing of God. But the blessing of God comes through unity. The blessing of God does not come through division. The more division you have in your life, the more division you have with the body of Christ, the less the blessing of God is upon your life. Do you want the blessing of God upon the work of your hands? Then it's time to unite. Amen?
Amen.
It's time to stand together. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. How many of you have fallen? Okay, I'm not talking when you were in the fifth grade and you were doing the relay and they were coming up behind you and you were so busy concentrating on your steps that you actually tripped yourself and boom, there you went down. I'm sure that wasn't nice, but that's not what I'm talking about. What type of falling are we talking about? We're talking about falling in life. When great disappointment comes and you feel yourself sinking into that pit of despair. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We're talking about that type of thing. When temptation comes and instead of resisting it, you fall for it and boom, now you've fallen. Is there anybody in this room that has not fallen? Probably there are people in this room right now, you are fallen. And you've been trying and trying and trying to get up. Can I tell you why a lot of people never get up? Because of division. Because there are certain falls that it's just the way it is. There are certain falls when you have fallen that way, unless you have help to take you by the hand and pick you up, you will never get up on your own. And you know, that happens often in the body of Christ. We have people coming from churches or church backgrounds where there is a lot of division, where there is a lot of separation, where the enemy has managed to bring a lot of disunity. And when those people fall, you never see them again. How many people do you know that used to go to church, and then some tragedy or some disappointment or some big problem, some calamity came into their life, and that was the last time that you saw them? They never came back. Can I tell you why they never came back? Because there was nobody there to help them, to pick them up. Does that make sense to you? Now, here's the thing. Everybody is going to fall somewhere, somehow. We live down here. You know, Peter, he walked with Jesus, he talked with Jesus, he was taught by Jesus, he experienced the power of Jesus, and just like Jesus predicted, he denied Christ 3 times. And you know what? He fell. And he thought his life was over. But when Jesus saw him again, Jesus simply asked him, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep." "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep." 3 times he renounced Jesus, 3 times Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" Jesus picked him up. And you know what? After that, Peter was on fire. He was unstoppable. He became the rock on which the church was built. Amen?
Amen.
We're always going to have situations come into our life that will probably cause some measure of us falling. And I want to say something. The problem is not the falling, because everybody falls. You know, nobody here, if you sit here tonight and you tell me, "Rian, I can guarantee you that between now and God calling me home, I will never fall again," I'm going to say to you that I think that's wishful thinking. Because everybody does fall at some point in time. The falling is not the problem. The staying down is the problem. The Bible says when the righteous man falls, the Lord picks him up. Yes, 7 times. But I want to tell you who the Lord cannot pick up. The Lord, even God, cannot pick up a man that is not in unity with his brothers and sisters. Because who does God use to pick us up? The people around us. God uses men and women of God and their united front with us to give us the power and the strength to get back up. You know what? We are not just body. We are body, soul, and spirit. And sometimes the reason why people fall is because their spirits are weak. When somebody is weak in the natural, what do? We come alongside them. Sometimes 2 people take them, and the person sort of hangs in the middle. And I don't know if you've seen when people are very tired or very exhausted, sometimes people will come alongside them, and they will actually carry them forward. That's what we do in the natural. Who tells you that that same thing cannot happen to you in the spirit? A lot of people, the reason why they go nowhere is because their spirits are weak. Their spirits have no more strength. But if we are united with them, in the same way, my spirit can come alongside your spirit and can help you and can pick you up. The fact of the matter is, Satan knows that. And Satan knows that one of the easiest ways to make sure that somebody's going to stay down in the pit is to push people away from that individual, to bring division, alienation, separation. Which brings me to something else that I want to share with you. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist, standing firm in your faith." Okay, let's listen to that. Be sober, be vigilant. Okay, the word sober can have 2 meanings. Who can help me? What are those 2 meanings? The first, be sober, is stay away from getting drunk. Amen? I want to say something to you. I don't care whether you like what I'm saying. I don't care whether you don't like it. I have to say it to you anyway. When you mess around with alcohol, you start opening doors for the devil to come into your life. Because alcohol inhibits your ability to make sound decisions, and it gets you to do stupid things which will open the door for the devil. I don't care whether you like it. I don't care whether you don't. It's a fact. A lot of people have done stupid things that they regret, that they wish they never did under the influence of alcohol. Can I tell you why? Because every demon in your life suddenly gets more power when you drink. You might have a spirit of violence that you can to some extent control when you're not drunk. But let me tell you something. The moment you get slightly pickled, you lose power over that spirit of violence. You're going to knock somebody's block off and they're going to lock you up. Or you know what? You might have a problem with a speed demon. And when you are not that drunk, you can to a certain extent control that foot, that right foot. But when you have a little bit too much to drink, that thing just overpowers your will because you've pickled it. And it'll force you into an accident or to do something really crazy and really stupid. Alcohol is good for nobody. Finished law. Laat staan, sikke dinge, laat staan. Amen. Stay away from it because it is not good. And look at the context in which he's speaking about it. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is looking for a gap to work against you. Amen.
Amen.
Has anybody ever done something stupid under the influence of alcohol? Just be honest and raise your hand. There we go. Now learn from their mistakes, please. Amen. We've all done it. But we should learn from that. Okay, now, the word be sober can also mean something else. What is the other meaning of the word sober? It has to do with the way we think. Sometimes we can say to somebody, think soberly about this. In other words, be open to what I'm trying to say to you now. He says, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, sort of take care, be watchful, be mindful. Your adversary, the devil. Okay, now why does he say be sober? Because a lot of churches and a lot of believers don't believe that the devil has a lot of power. Yeah, you know what, Rian? Because I'm a child of God, the devil can't touch me. Because I'm under the grace of God, God has dealt with everything. Because I am saved, God will deal with everything on my behalf. No, none of those things is right. You need to be sober-minded because he's warning you. And he's not speaking to the unbeliever. He's not speaking to the Buddhist. He's not speaking to the alcoholic. He's not speaking to the prostitute. He's speaking to believers. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for somebody who he may devour. What happens when you put a person in the path of a storming lion? What will be left of that person? Unfortunately, there is nothing left of that individual. Now, let's look at the devil. He is not called a lion. He is compared to a lion. Why? Because they work in similar ways, don't they? When a lion sees a herd of buffalo, let's say there's 100 buffalo in the group, the pack, whatever you call them. Herd, yes, thank you. There's 100 buffalo in the herd of buffalo, and there's 2 or 3 lions hunting together. What's going through that lion's mind when he's starting to circle the herd of buffalo? What is he looking for? Well, here's the thing. The lion is always looking for the weakest. Why? Because that buffalo's got sharp horns and they can actually defend themselves quite well. And the lion is not stupid. He knows that if he goes for the wrong one, he himself can get hurt. The devil is the same. He knows that there are some believers out there that fight back. Now what the lion does is he starts looking. He's not going to charge until he has identified a target. And the target that he will identify is going to be one of the following. It's going to be an old cow, probably. Or it's going to be a very young individual that's still a little bit unsure of their footing. Or it's going to be one that's been hurt somewhere and they're walking like a bit limp. They'll keep looking until they identify that one or two individuals. And when they storm, they don't care about all the other big, fat, nice, juicy buffalo. They will avoid them and go straight for the one that is the easy kill. And you know what they try and do? They try and separate that one from the herd. Because what the buffalo will do is they will instinctively try and surround the weaker ones. And the lions will keep pushing them away until they have isolated and alienated that one individual. They go for the kill and they have their meal. So what does the devil do? The devil does exactly the same thing. The devil wants to bring division. The devil wants to bring separation, because then it's a lot easier to go for that one person than when they all move together as a unit. One of the reasons why the buffalo or the buck or the deer or whatever you call it are always running around and mulling around is because it makes it difficult for the lion to focus on that one individual. There's too much movement. The enemy works exactly the same way. When we stand together, it's extremely difficult for him to get to us. But when we allow the devil to bring division and separation in our ranks, it becomes a lot easier to focus on individuals and give them a hard time. When we stand together, we have power. When we stand alone, we are vulnerable. The devil knows that and he will use that. Two can defend themselves. Two can defend themselves. Last week I called two people forward and I showed you, when we look at the armor of God says that we have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the girdle of truth. We have the shield of faith. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the shoes of the preparation to preach the gospel of peace. And that gives us the armor of God. But what covers your back? Nothing covers your back. Why do you think Jesus sent the disciples out two by two? Because when two disciples walk a road together and they get ambushed, when the one goes and stand with their back against the other one, my sword covers this area, your sword covers this area, and we are protected. The devil knows that. So what do you think the devil wants? To push apart. Because the moment you are pushed apart, you become vulnerable. Amen? Two can defend themselves. Let's look at that. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. One will always be overpowered. Two will have victory over the oppressor. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, today, God is speaking to me about unity. And today, I have to make a decision about my life, about the body of Christ, about my future. And today, I will make that decision. Now, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think about the ways in which the enemy has been working against you, maybe in your family, working against you maybe in the ministry, working against you maybe at work or in church or whatever the case might be, and where you have maybe allowed the enemy to have some place, especially in the ministry. I want to say to you that we have had a spirit of division come against this ministry. We've had too many people not talking to one another, having problems with another, bickering and complaining and gossiping and a lot of jealousy. And you know what? Probably next week I'm going to speak on the spirit of jealousy, because that thing seems to have just too much power and it's ridiculous and it's nonsense. We shouldn't give him that much power. And that brings division. And when we have division come in, the anointing and the power of God is not the way that God wants it to be. Sometimes we are the reason why the power of God doesn't manifest, because of the things we allow. And it's time for that to stop. And you know what? When we preach about these things, yes, it's for you to learn something, but it's also for that spirit to listen and to understand you are not wanted. Shut up, foot sack. There's the door. Go. We don't want you here. Guys, we need unity. This man's life is important, but his life is not more important than her life. And her life is important, but it's not more important than her life. Can I tell you something? When the enemy walks over this man and we allow it, we are stupid. Why? Because if we truly are in unity, what happens to him affects me. Hello? What happens to him affects me. If I let the devil just walk over him, then I'm sort of, to a certain extent, allowing the devil to walk over me. If I let him suffer, then in the spirit world, I'm suffering. So what must we do? We must hedge together. We must stand together. We must fight together. It's time for us to start caring for one another. You know, the one thing Jesus taught us, it's important to care. It's important to operate in love. Amen? Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 and onwards, Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Okay, I'm going to read that again and I want you to listen. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What is that? That's fighting talk. Because it's the works of darkness that needs to be bound. It's devils, demons, curses, oppression over people's lives that need to be bound. Amen? Okay, now listen to this. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. God says we as believers have the right to speak that word by faith for the works of darkness to be bound. And it will come to pass. And we also have the right to loose things. What do we need to loose over people? We need to loose prosperity. We need to loose peace. We need to loose love. Amen? We need to loose acceptance, whatever that people need. We have the power. We need to speak it into being. We need to loose that over their lives. Now, here's the thing. Here's something that probably you never saw before, but I want to show you that this is conditional. And if you listen to the earlier part of my sermon, you will understand that that's what I was trying to show you earlier on, that this is conditional. In order for us to have this power, one thing is very important. He says, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree, you are in agreement about anything you ask for, then I will give it to you. If you try and bind the works of darkness, but you are not in agreement, in other words, you are not in unity, nothing will happen. If you try and loose something and you are not in agreement, you are not in unity, nothing will happen. There's a lot of people in this world that are asking God for a lot of things. They have expectations. They pray, they bind, they loose, they curse, they damn the works of darkness, and they see nothing happening. Why? Because there's no unity. The Greek word that is translated as agree, when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree, that word, agree, comes from the Greek word that simply means to symphonize something. If I say to you the word symphonize, what does it tell you? Symphonize. What does it make you think of? Thank you. It makes you think of an orchestra. Now, in order for us to have an orchestra, can we just have one flute? What if we just have one bass guitar? What if we have one huge big drum? Okay, what if we have a big harp? You see, it can't be a symphony unless it's a group working together to harmonize together. Now, let's use this analogy that we are all part of a symphony. Do you believe that God wants to bring something beautiful into people's lives? Okay, now, what's more beautiful than beautiful music? Come on, if you've ever listened to a symphonic orchestra playing, yeah, man, that just does something to the insides of you. I mean, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's amazing. Yes, it's peaceful, it's tranquil, it's uplifting, it's all those wonderful things. Now, what if you're a flute player, you're a celloist, you are a cymbalist, you've got one of those little triangles, ding, 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 you play a big bass drum. Georgie, what can we give you? You're a violinist. Have I given you something yet? Okay. All right, now let's just say everybody in this room has a different instrument. What if I say a one, a two, a one, two, three, go, and you all start playing whatever you feel like it. He's on C flat, she's on A minor, she's on B upper or lower. I don't even know what you call that stuff. And everybody's just doing their own thing. What have we got? We have a lot of noise. That sounds to me like something the devil would like, because I'm not sure God's going to like it, and I'm not sure we're going to like it. Okay. But what if I say, okay, stop. I take my little conductor's thing, tap, 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 and we go. And we all start on the same key. We all start playing the same music. What have we suddenly got? Something amazing. Something that is going to inspire, uplift, bless everybody. Okay, what am I trying to tell you? Jesus says when we work together, when we symphonize, when we harmonize, when we are in step with one another, when we are in unity, we have the power to bind the works of darkness. We have the power to loose the power of God into any situation, and we will have a blessed life. Amen. Amen. So is there anybody in this room tonight that feels that that's where they want to be? Yes. Come on, just rave at me. Then I've got some good news for you. Yeah.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are unity.
They are. Well, Jesus said in the book of John chapter 17, he says, Father, make them one as we are one. You know what? We cannot be what God called us to be if we aren't what God is. God is three in one. We are 100 in one. Or we're supposed to be. But the reality is, when you look at most churches, that's not the way it is. Because this group doesn't talk to that group. These people don't see it the way that people do. These people are jealous of those people. Those people have a problem with the way these people do stuff. And in the end, when we look at it, we got these small little factions that we all sit in the same roof, but when we walk down the streets, we don't even greet one another. Is that right?
No.
Now you know why the devil's got a lot of power. And why the kingdom of God is not advancing the way God wants it to advance. So I want to ask you a question. Did God speak to you tonight?
Yes.
Do you think that there are a couple of things maybe in your life that you need to change?
Yes.
Probably. Then I think it's time for us to do that.
Amen.
Did you learn something tonight?
Yes.
Give the Lord a big hand, please. All right. Ladies. Okay. Here's what we're going to do tonight. Everybody here has something that they trust in God for. Raise your hands if you got something you trust in God for. If you need some breakthrough in your life, you might need some healing in your life. I don't know. I don't care. What did Jesus say? I just read it to you. When two of us are in agreement and we ask something of God, it will be given. But now I also explain to you that agreement has a bigger meaning than just, oh, I agree with you. I must also be united to you. We must walk together. We must be in unity. Now here's the thing. A lot of people ask God for a lot of stuff, but they're not meeting the condition. So tonight we're going to all make a choice to meet the condition. We're all going to make a choice to choose to walk together, to become in step, to harmonize, to symphonize together. And we're going to trust God, and we're going to ask Him again. And you know what? When you begin to ask God and you meet His conditions, you're going to go a lot further than asking God and not meeting His conditions. Georgie, you have a couple of things that need to happen in your life. Well, it's time for us to be in agreement, isn't it? Amen. And how many of you know that there's a couple of demons in your life that need to be bound? You know, for some of you, it's the drinking demon. For some of you, it's the smoking demon. For some of you, it's the spirit of depression or the spirit of rebellion or the spirit of fear or whatever. We can't bind it until we are in unity. But when we are in unity, not only can we bind it, we can clap it, we can hit it, we can sort it out. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we're going to do tonight. All right. Uncle Ed, are you almost ready? All right, guys, if you can help us with the chairs quickly, please. Don't go home. If you need prayer, we're going to pray for you now.